This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Every week on Science Fantastic, we explore the amazing world of science, cutting-edge issues which affect our life and our understanding of our role in the universe. And with us today, once again, is our favorite astronomer, Dr. Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of a number of great books on astronomy, including Alchemy of the Heavens and Magnificent Mars. And today we're going to talk about the night sky. That's right. I tell my students, one day, why don't you do something that you normally don't do? Look up. Don't look at the ground. Don't look at your feet. Don't think about the next final exam. Look up, and you'll see this whole universe of ours with a comet. Now, some people say that once in a lifetime, we are privileged to be able to see a comet lingering in the night sky. Well, if you missed Halley's Comet back in 1986, there's another comet gracing the evening sky called Neowise. And so we'll say a few things about where they come from, what they're made of, and what's all this fuss about the comet. And then the night sky, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, Mercury. You'll have a grand slam of the night sky with binoculars, with a telescope. Not to mention the fact that three countries are setting their sights on Mars. The United Arab Emirates already successfully had a launch. The Chinese and NASA, not too far behind, will also launch space probes. And in February of next year, we could have a traffic jam around Mars. And then we'll say a few things about our sun. Did you know that we are still debating the precise composition of the sun? So we'll say a few things about Jupiter and our sun. What do we know about the two giants of the solar system? And once again, if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website. It's mkaku.org, mkaku.org. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. The latest bestseller is called The Future of Humanity, Humanity in Outer Space. As we begin to go back to the moon in a few years, then on to Mars, perhaps in 15 or so more years, and who knows where we're going to go after that. Well, anyway, once again, we have with us online Dr. Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of a number of great books in astronomy, including Alchemy of the Heavens and Magnificent Mars. So, Ken, once again, glad you could be on Science Fantastic.
Glad to be here, Michio.
Okay, let's talk about comets. Maybe some people missed Halley's Comet back in the 1980s, perhaps the most famous comet to go across the night sky every 76 years. But there's a smaller comet now hovering in the night sky. Perhaps you'll see it near the constellation of the Big Dipper. So let's talk about it. So first of all, what is the difference? The difference between a meteor and a comet?
Well, a meteor is something that just lasts for a few seconds, and you really have to be watching. You have to be lucky to see that meteor. It flashes by as a particle of dust burns up in our atmosphere. A comet is very different, although there is a relationship between comets and meteors, which I'll mention in a moment. But a comet simply lingers in the sky. You can see it night after night after night. It's not something that just flashes by in an instant. So you mentioned the most famous comet of all, that's Halley's Comet. And Halley's Comet, however, was not a great comet when it last passed by the Earth in 1986, and that's because it passed so far from the Earth. It was not a very prominent sight, so no one should feel bad that they missed Halley's Comet in 1986. And for that matter, it's also going to pass far from the Earth in its next passage in 2061. So that's not going to be a good pass either. For most of us here in the Northern Hemisphere, the last two great comets occurred in the 1990s, in two successive years. 1996 was Comet Hyakutake, followed by Comet Hale-Bopp in 1997. Those are both wonderful, wonderful comets. Now, the current comet is called Neowise, named for the spacecraft that discovered it. And it's not a great comet, but it's quite a nice comet, especially if you can observe it through binoculars, ideally getting away from city lights. Comets can look much better when you're out in the country than among city lights. But, definitely some of the photographs I've seen of the comet have been very nice, but it's not terribly bright, so you really do have to know where to look. And as you pointed out, it's south of the Big Dipper, and the best time to look is shortly after sunset when it gets dark and look to the northwest. And ideally, you will have dark skies away from city lights. And let me mention the connection between comets and meteors. Comets, as they travel through space, sprinkle their orbit with dust particles. And if the Earth encounters those dust particles, we see a meteor shower. So, for example, every August, we see the Perseid meteor shower, and those Perseid meteors are the gift of a comet called Swift-Tuttle, named for the two astronomers that discovered it. So there is a connection between comets and meteors, but comets are much easier to see in the sense that they don't just flash by in an instant. You can see them night after night after night.
Okay, well, speaking of Hale-Bopp comet, I still remember seeing it sailing over Manhattan, over Broadway. In spite of all the lights of Manhattan, you could actually see the Hale-Bopp comet sail over Broadway, which was quite a sight when I saw it myself. Well, this comet, Neowise, is going to return in 6,800 years. So if you missed it, you have a second chance to catch it on this next flyby 6,800 years from now. So then the next question is, well, where does it go for 6,800 years? Where do comets come from anyway? They've, of course, been the source of much speculation over millennia, but we now know. So where do comets come from anyway?
The comets such as Neowise came from the Oort cloud, which is located far beyond the orbits of Neptune and Pluto. These comets, we think, actually started off in the protoplanetary disk that gave birth to the solar system, that is, the planets of our solar system. And then the giant planets, through their gravity, kicked those objects either out of the solar system altogether or into the Oort cloud. And they remain bound, gravitationally bound to the sun. They orbit around the sun. You mentioned that Neowise goes around every 6,800 years. And so at their farthest point, you know, they're really far out. I mean, there are comets that are more than a light year from the sun. And so every now and then, one of these comets falls toward the sun on its highly elliptical orbit, passes by the Earth, and passes near the sun with the sun's heat, vaporizes some of the ice, and we see a nice, beautiful tail, and that's exactly what's going on now with Comet Neowise.
And speaking of that, I think it was Johann Kepler who finally figured out where the tail of a comet comes from and which direction it points, because most people think that the tail of a comet is like the exhaust of a rocket. But that's not really true, right?
That's right. It always points directly away from the sun because it's the solar wind that blows the departing material away from the comet. So you cannot actually look at the tail and say, oh, yes, it's going in that direction. It may be going some completely different direction. All the tail tells you is where the sun is. So, for example, if you look at Comet Neowise after sunset, the tail is pointing away from the sun, which at that time of the night will be beneath the horizon, beneath the western horizon.
Okay, well, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, to find out more about the show. And our special guest today is astronomer Ken Croswell, author of the book Alchemy of the Heavens. So stay tuned as we talk about the night sky, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, Mercury, right above our sky.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. Here's just one example of what you can get with a free subscription from Avid Market Highlights Report. With gold prices hitting new highs in 2020, investors are just beginning to push into junior gold miner stocks. And we want to send you research that can position you to win with this red-hot gold stock opportunity in the market. Text WIN to 48542 for more info on gold miner investment opportunities now with your free subscription to Market Highlights Report. Text the word WIN to 48542 and have this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the winningest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word WIN to 48542. Text WIN to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text WIN to 48542.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is once again astronomer Ken Croswell, author of the book Alchemy of the Heavens and Magnificent Mars. And we're talking about the night sky. Look up, and perhaps you'll see in the direction of the Big Dipper a comet. Comet Neowise. And as I understand, throughout human history, people have been fascinated by comets because they linger, not just for seconds, but for days, weeks in the night sky. Some people think they foretell the death of the king. And in 1066, a comet sailed over the battlefield of Hastings in England, and it spooked out the troops of King Harold, heralding the victory of William the Conqueror. So some people think that Halley's Comet, which sailed over England in 1066, in some sense spooked the troops of King Harold, paving the way for the modern British monarchy. So in some sense, maybe modern England is the way it is because of a comet. So, Ken, comets, what are they made of now? We talked a little bit about ice. But how do they differ from the composition of meteors and asteroids?
Well, comets are described by the so-called dirty snowball model. And this is a model that was proposed in the early 1950s by Harvard astronomer Fred Whipple. He said that they consist of rock and a good deal of water ice. And as one of these objects near the sun, it heats up and some of the water ice vaporizes and pushes off gas and dust, and that's what accounts for that beautiful tail that you see in a comet. And then, of course, if the Earth runs into the particles that the comet has shed, then we see a meteor shower when those particles enter our atmosphere and burn up in the atmosphere.
Okay, and finally, what is the difference between asteroids and comets in terms of where they are located in the solar system and what they're made of?
Well, the comets come from far away, whereas most of the asteroids in our solar system are located closer to the sun, most of them between the orbits of Mars and Jupiter. And asteroids are rocky objects. Now, that doesn't mean they can't contain water ice. In fact, the largest asteroid Ceres does contain water ice, but comets are just much more, I guess you could say, much more glamorous objects, much more flamboyant objects, much more beautiful objects, because they come close to the sun and they, you know, the heat of the sun gives birth to their long tails. Asteroids are, shall we say, duller objects, but both asteroids and comets represent leftover building blocks from the formation of the planets of our solar system, and that's one reason that astronomers love to study them, is because both asteroids and comets give clues to how the solar system arose.
Well, every Hollywood scriptwriter wants to know about how dangerous they are. Can we have a comet hit the Earth? Now, some people say that comets that we track are periodic. That is, you wait long enough, they come back in elliptical orbit, and you can predict the next cycle. But some comets way out there in the Oort cloud, as you mentioned, could be non-periodic. That is, make just one pass through the solar system and catch us totally off guard. In fact, if one such comet went behind the sun, we wouldn't have any notice until it came away from the sun, and then we would only have a few weeks' warning before it hit the Earth. So tell us a little bit about the fact that, well, we're not going to be hit by a comet anytime soon, but non-periodic comets, comets that are non-periodic, we don't know when they're going to come back, do they pose a potential danger?
Well, yes, they do, and so do asteroids, for that matter. Any such very large impact could wipe out an enormous amount of life on Earth. That's what happened 66 million years ago when the dinosaurs went extinct, an asteroid hit the Earth measuring maybe 10 miles across. About 6 miles across, 10 kilometers across. Now, you mentioned the possibility that there are these very long period comets. I don't think any comet in the Oort cloud is non-periodic, just that over a human lifetime, of course, we're not going to see that comet come back twice. But if we could wait millions of years, then we would actually see the same comet come back twice. The so-called periodic comets are the ones that we do see coming back repeatedly. So, for example, the most famous comet, Halley's Comet, returns every 76 years. We last saw it in 1986. We'll see it again in 2061, and we can count on seeing it again in the 22nd century. So, yes, some comets we see repeatedly, and others we just see once because their orbital periods are so very long, like NEOWISE.
Now, I understand that we have photographed the nucleus of Halley's Comet back in the 1980s, and the nucleus is about 20 miles across, about the size of Manhattan, and it's shaped like a peanut. It looks like two globs have been fused together to create a comet nucleus, which means that perhaps in the future, Halley's Comet may split apart into two pieces. So isn't it true that comets are sometimes unstable? Sometimes they hit the sun, sometimes they split apart. Halley's Comet has been stable for thousands of years, but perhaps in the future it too will break apart. What are your thoughts?
Well, Halley's Comet is actually not quite as big as you said. It's more like 5 or 10 miles across, but you're absolutely right. We've observed comets split apart. For example, there was a comet in the 1800s called Biela's Comet that split into two as we were observing it. And the reason for that is almost certainly because of the stress put on the comet by the intense sunlight as the comet nears the sun and heats up. So, yes, we do see comets splitting up. They're not the most stable of bodies. They're not as stable as asteroids are. So comets can indeed break up, and indeed some of the comets that have hit Earth in the past and the Moon in the past probably have been pairs of comets that broke up just before they hit the Earth and the Moon.
Right, and as I understand, there was this monstrous meteor shower as the Earth went through the tail of a comet back in the 1800s. It was so astounding that it created religious groups. Doomsday cults came out as a consequence. And the Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, some religious organizations can actually trace their lineage all the way back to the great meteor shower of the 1800s. So meteors and meteor showers and comets also affect human history as well. Well, let's say a few things now about the night sky. Let's say you're a kid and you want to get a telescope or a binoculars. First of all, what would you recommend for a beginner that wants to take a look at the night sky and see the rings of Saturn and take a look at what we have in our solar system? What would you suggest?
I would actually suggest getting a pair of binoculars first before you get a telescope and explore the night sky with binoculars, because binoculars are cheap. They're very easy to handle. They don't weigh a whole bunch. Then you may already have them. But that's a great way to explore the night sky. You won't be able to see the rings of Saturn with a pair of binoculars, but you will be able to see, for example, star clusters like the Pleiades. It's a beautiful star cluster. You can see it with the naked eye, but it looks absolutely stunning through a pair of binoculars. As far as things to see, I mean, Venus is a beautiful planet that is visible right now before sunrise in the east. You can also see Jupiter, which is rising in the southeast a few hours after sunset. And in fact, let me correct myself on that. Jupiter's rising right around sunset, because Jupiter's right now at opposition, along with Saturn. Jupiter and Saturn are right now together in the evening sky, and they'll be rising around sunset in the southeast. So those are some of the bright objects, easy-to-see objects, that anyone should be able to find, Venus, Jupiter, and Saturn.
Now, children say the nursery rhyme, "Star light, star bright, first star I see tonight." Isn't it true that chances are that's not really a star that children see at all, but it's really the planet Venus, which is the brightest object other than the Moon? So isn't it possible that many people confuse Venus for a star?
Yes, and also Jupiter. Jupiter is also incredibly bright. In fact, the first star you see tonight probably will be Jupiter, since it's so much brighter than any star. Venus right now is in the morning sky, so it's definitely not going to be visible tonight.
Well, I remember when I got my first telescope. Well, let's take a short commercial break, and after the break, we'll continue a discussion of the night sky, the planet Mars, and also the controversy, what is the sun made of anyway? Once again, our special guest today is astronomer Ken Croswell, author of Alchemy of the Heavens, and you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Jeremy Stott. The House passed a budget measure on President Biden's proposal of a coronavirus aid package on Friday by a vote of 219 to 209 without Republican support. The president tells CBS's Nora O'Donnell in a full interview set to air after Sunday's Super Bowl that his provision to raise the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour is not likely to survive.
We should have a minimum wage stand by itself, $15 an hour, and work your way up. All the economics show if you do that, the whole economy rises.
President Biden said Friday that $1,400 stimulus payments are still part of the deal. The Supreme Court has ruled in two cases of churches who sued the state of California because of coronavirus restrictions. The High Court said the state cannot ban indoor worship, but can limit capacity to 25%. The justices also declined to ban singing and chanting at services in their Friday ruling. This is USA Radio News. The Pentagon is deploying more than 1,100 troops to 5 FEMA vaccination centers across the U.S. to speed up vaccination efforts.
One team of 222 will be deploying to California, to a site in California, in coming days. We expect that they'll be able to get on site on or about the 15th of this month.
John Kirby, press secretary at the Pentagon, says each team will include medical and support personnel. There will be two sites in California, in Los Angeles, and Oakland. This initial deployment is part of plans to have 10,000 service members staff mass vaccination centers across the country by next month. Border agents apprehended more than 250 illegal immigrants near the southern border in Texas on Thursday night. The groups were mainly unaccompanied minors and families. This is the first time since the surge of 2019 that Customs and Border Protection personnel have revived the controversial policy. This is USA Radio News.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
This is Science Fantastic.
Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today we're talking about the night sky. Let's do something that most people hardly ever do, and that is look up. That's right, look up. Don't look at the ground. Don't look at your feet. Don't mull over all the things you have to do today. Look up. Look at the night sky. Look for Venus. Look for Jupiter. Look for Mars. Look for this glorious solar system that we inhabit. And with us to guide us is astronomer Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of Alchemy of the Heavens. Where we last left off, we were talking about some of the planets that you could see, like with the naked eye, Venus and Jupiter. However, I remember getting my first telescope. It was about a 3 or 4 inch reflector telescope. And I saw the rings of Saturn for the first time. And it was almost like an existential shock. I mean, this is better than any science fiction movie, because you know that this is reality, that there it is hovering above you, the rings of Saturn. So, Ken, tell us, if you are an astronomer that wants to know a little bit more about the universe and you're finished with the binoculars, What's the next step beyond the binoculars that will reveal the rings of Saturn?
And that would be a small telescope. And indeed, a small telescope can see the rings of Saturn, which are very impressive. There are other planets in our solar system, including Jupiter, Uranus, and Neptune, all of which have rings too, but none compare to the rings of Saturn. Saturn's rings are absolutely stunning. And it's a question, it's an open question, a scientific question, how common are such beautiful planets in our universe? We don't know. We know the giant planets are quite common, but how many of them have such stunning rings the way Saturn does? We just don't know. But yes, the next step up after you explore the night sky with binoculars, and if you're still into doing astronomy, the next step up would be to get a telescope, maybe a 6-inch, an 8-inch telescope, would definitely reveal the rings of Saturn.
And not to mention the fact that your cell phone allows you to project the night sky right in front of you. You just look at the direction of north, and some cell phones already know the direction of north. And from that, you can see the whole night sky with all the stars with their names listed for you right there on your cell phone. So the planets, when you look at the arrangement of the planets, when you look at the entire night sky, don't they follow into a line, a plane, the ecliptic plane? So in some sense, you can actually trace the location of the planets by looking for the disk, the plane of the solar system, right?
That's right. So, for example, right now, Jupiter and Saturn are very close together east of the constellation Sagittarius, and they would make a line with the sun. If you could imagine an imaginary line extending all the way to the west, beneath the horizon to where the sun is, and also the moon follows that same line, that more or less, because all the planets, with the exception of Eris, are more or less in the same plane. Even Pluto, by the way, is pretty close to that plane. It's not exactly in it. But the planets form from a disk of gas and dust, a flat disk of gas and dust, and that's why most of them are still more or less near that plane to this day.
And also, when I look for Venus, I look in the direction of the sun, because Venus is closer to the sun than the Earth. So yeah. When the sun sets, I can see Venus. But Mercury is very close to the sun, and I've never seen it. I've never seen Mercury. I guess you would have to time it very carefully. When the sun goes down, you then look for this bright object in the night sky. So what is the best way if you want to see Mercury, given the fact that it's close to the sun? Oh, let's take another short commercial break, and then we're going to continue with the discussion of the solar system, Mars, and what is the sun made of? Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on national radio.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day, and our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
By Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, with us on the line is astronomer Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of a number of great books, including Alchemy of the Heavens, Magnificent Mars, The Universe at Midnight. And if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. On Facebook, we have about 3 million fans on Facebook, and I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers that are listed on my website. Well, let's talk about the night sky. We mentioned the fact that once you graduate from binoculars, you may want to get a small reflecting telescope. I've seen with the naked eye Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, but Mercury I've never seen because apparently it's quite difficult to see it because it's very close to the sun. So are there any tricks by which you can see the planet Venus at sunset?
Well, I think you mean Mercury. Yeah, Mercury.
Mercury.
Yeah, Mercury is really difficult to see. I've only seen it maybe 4 times in my entire life. And you're right, you have to time it just right. You can only see it either low in the western sky right after sunset or low in the eastern sky right before sunrise. And right now, Mercury is visible right before sunrise in the eastern sky, but you have to time it right. And the reason it's so hard to see is because even though Mercury is a fairly bright planet, you're looking for that fairly bright planet against the sky that is also quite bright. You're looking for that planet against the dawn sky. And so there's a lot of light. It's not nearly as easy as something like Jupiter or Saturn. Jupiter and Saturn you can see against a very dark sky. So Mercury is a challenge. You do have to time it right. Right now, here in July, it turns out that Mercury is visible in the eastern sky before sunrise. But you have to have an unobstructed view to your east in order to see it. And you have to get up pretty early in order to see it right now. So as I say, I've only seen it maybe 4 times in my life. So don't feel too bad if you've never seen the planet Mercury. It's hard to see. And by the way, historically, we didn't know much about Mercury until we sent a spacecraft there in 1975 because it was very hard to observe the planet from Earth.
Okay, and moving on, there's the planet Mars. Now, people may be disappointed when they buy their telescope. They want to see the canals of Mars. First of all, Mars has no canals. Second, it's very small. It is red because of rust. But you cannot see surface features unless you have a much larger telescope. Sorry about that. However, 3 countries are aiming for the red planet. The United Arab Emirates had a successful launch. The Chinese are going to follow that up. And then the United States will launch its probe shortly afterwards. So we're going to have a traffic jam around Mars. And NASA is going to put a helicopter a helicopter on Mars, and rock retrieval is on the agenda as well. So do you have a few words to say about what's new about the recent missions planned for Mars with helicopters and rock retrieval?
Well, the NASA mission will be quite interesting. It's called Perseverance, and it's going to land, if all goes well, on February 18th of 2021. That just happens to be the anniversary of the discovery of the planet Pluto. And Mars and Pluto actually have a connection because Percival Lowell opened an observatory to study the planet Mars, but during his life he led a secret search for a ninth planet, which after his death resulted in the discovery of the planet Pluto. Perseverance is a very large rover, and it weighs over 2,000 pounds, okay? So it's going to do a lot. It's going to carry a very small helicopter, as you mentioned. It's just kind of an experiment to see if that will work on Mars in the very thin Martian atmosphere.
Okay, and rock retrieval. Tell us a little bit about the fact that we actually already have rocks from Mars on the planet Earth. Think about that. Rocks from Mars, perhaps maybe in your backyard. So how do we know that Martian rocks have actually landed on the Earth?
Well, we looked at the isotopic ratios of gases in those rocks, and they match those of the Martian atmosphere. They're meteorites that have come from Mars. They used to be rocks on the surface of Mars, and something hit Mars, blasted those rocks into space, and those rocks then drifted through space and eventually encountered the Earth, and we found them. Now, of course, most meteorites do not come from Mars. They come from elsewhere, but a few do come from Mars.
Okay, well, let's take another short commercial break, and after the break, we're going to talk about mysteries of the solar system, like the Sun. Do we really know what the Sun is made of? And Jupiter, where did these gas giants come from anyway? Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how did it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, with us on the line is astronomer Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of a number of great books, including Alchemy of the Heavens. And today we're talking about, well, the night sky, our own backyard. If you haven't, go outside, look up, see the fact that there could be a comet lingering in the direction of the Big Dipper, and realize that there's a whole solar system out there waiting to be discovered. Venus, the brightest object in the night sky other than the moon, can be seen, not to mention Jupiter, Saturn, Mercury, and Mars is in the target of several nations. We have the United Arab Emirates, the Chinese, and the United States all gunning for Mars. And in February of next year, there could even be a traffic jam as we have all these space probes reaching the red planet. In fact, every 26 months, we have a window of opportunity. It's no accident that we have these probes being launched within days of each other, and not to outdo each other. But it's simply a question of aeronautics. We have a window of opportunity where the shortest distance between us and and Mars by rocket is by going through this window every 26 years. So Mars is on the agenda. But there's some mysteries which are still lingering. For example, what is the sun made of anyway? You know, Auguste Comte, the great French philosopher, once made a challenge to the world of astronomy and physics. He challenged the physicists around the world. He said that science will know many things about the world, but there's one thing that we will never, ever know, and that is what the planets and what the stars are made of. Well, just a few years after Auguste Comte made that challenge, physicists said, hydrogen. It's made out of hydrogen because they looked at the spectral lines, shot the lines through a prism, and they found a fingerprint of the spectral lines of hydrogen and a mystery mineral that they called helium. They thought it was a mineral. And helium was first found in the sun by looking at starlight. So, Ken, right now, as I understand, there's yet another controversy as we get finer and finer understanding of what the sun is made of. So explain to us the latest controversy.
Yes, this has been going on for the last 20 years. We don't know exactly what the sun is made of. We do know, as you just said, that it's made mostly of hydrogen and helium, which are the two most common elements in the universe, and the two lightest elements as well. But then we are really confused. We don't know how abundant the next most abundant elements are. Those are oxygen, carbon, neon, and nitrogen. Three of those four elements, of course, are very important for life. Oxygen, we breathe it. Carbon, life is based on it. Nitrogen is part of protein. And the reason this is so very important is because we astronomers use the sun as our standard for elemental abundances throughout the universe. So if we don't know what the sun is made of, we don't know what the other stars are made of, and we don't know what the entire universe is made of. And I recently wrote about this problem at Noble Magazine. You can go to noblemagazine.org and read all about it. It's called An Elemental Problem with the Sun. And astronomers are loggerheads over this. They do not know. There are two different methods for determining the composition of the sun, and they give two different answers. One gives a 42% lower abundance of oxygen than the other. And so we just don't know what the sun is made of in terms of how much oxygen it has relative to hydrogen, how much carbon it has relative to hydrogen, how much nitrogen it has relative to hydrogen. Now, the good news is there are experiments ongoing that we hope will answer this question in the next 10 years. And in fact, just recently, you may have heard that there was the detection of neutrinos from the CNO cycle in the sun. The CNO cycle involves carbon, nitrogen, and oxygen. And the hope is that as we measure more and more of those neutrinos, those will tell us just how much carbon, nitrogen, and oxygen the sun has, and thus resolve this controversy. So if you want to read more about that, you can just go to the Knowable Magazine website and look for an elemental problem with the sun.
Okay, well, back in the 1800s, Fraunhofer, the one who first found out what the sun is made of, took starlight and sunlight, put it through a prism, and by looking at the spectral lines, you have a fingerprint of different elements like hydrogen, helium, and stuff like that. And he said, aha, I see the spectral lines of hydrogen. But that doesn't give you the composition of the entire sun. It just gives you the composition of the surface of the sun in terms of starlight. So you mentioned a second method. What is the second method by which we determine the composition of the sun other than looking at starlight?
Well, it turns out that the sun vibrates just as the Earth vibrates. On Earth, we call those vibrations earthquakes. They're not the most pleasant things, especially if it's a strong earthquake. But geologists use those to probe the interior of the Earth. Likewise, astronomers use the vibrations in the sun to probe the inside of the sun. And it turns out that those measurements can tell you a lot about the inside of the sun. And the exact structure of the solar interior depends on how much oxygen and other heavy elements the sun has. So that's the other method for determining how much oxygen the sun has. And those measurements of the interior give you a higher number for the number of oxygen atoms in the sun than does the first method, which in which you look at the sunlight and analyze, well, okay, how many oxygen atoms are there relative to hydrogen? And so, as I say, the hope is we'll be able to resolve this matter in the next 10 years. But for the past two decades, we've been arguing about it, and we just don't know who's right.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we have run out of time. Once again, our special guest has been Dr. Ken Croswell, author of the book Alchemy of the Heavens. So, Ken, once again, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Okay, and if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. We have 3 million fans on Facebook. And every week, we discuss the cutting edge of science and technology on Science Fantastic. And give us a call if you want to get on 100 radio stations. The number to call is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station, and bingo, maybe you can get on national radio.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.